This is your life, episode 92. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Is everything you dreamed it would be when the world was younger and you had everything? Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'll be talking about why so many leaders find delegation difficult and what you can do to overcome this obstacle. Does that sound like you? Well, it's not that difficult if you know what it is and have a strategy for dealing with it. You can find the outline, the resource links, and a complete transcript of the show notes at michaelhyatt.com/92, as in episode 92. I'll be back in a minute with some thoughts on this topic.
If you have something to say or sell in today's noisy world,
now you can get the inspiration, training, and tools you need to increase your influence and impact.
Platform University, a community of like-minded individuals led by one of Forbes magazine's top 50 social media influencers, Michael Hyatt.
Each month, you'll get access to
The Masterclass, where Michael interviews leading platform authorities.
Backstage Pass, a behind-the-scenes look at Michael's own platform business.
Member Makeover, with specific recommendations you can put to work now.
A live Q&A session where you can ask Michael your most burning questions.
And the discussion forum where our members support one another in their common quest.
Hi, this is Ryan Jenkins from ryan-jenkins.com. Participating in the member makeover of Platform University has been a true catalyst in taking my business and platform to a whole new level.
Intrigued? Now it is the time to invest in building your own platform. PlatformUniversity.com.
So, what is the single biggest reason leaders struggle with delegation? I'll tell you, because they think that delegating the task takes longer than just doing it themselves. Does that sound familiar? Of course it does. We've all said it. But this thinking is flawed. The truth is that delegation always takes longer the first couple of times you hand off a task, but it will save you hours, days, even weeks if you hand it off the right way. And this requires creating a clearly documented, optimized workflow and then training someone how to use it. And in this episode, I want to share four steps you can take in transforming a workflow into a documented procedure, something you can delegate. And these steps apply to tasks you're currently doing yourself, but want to delegate to someone else. So number one, notice the workflow. You know, whenever you find yourself repeating the same workflow over and over again in the same way, you've got a candidate for delegation. It could be anything from answering your phone to filtering your email, updating your blog, entering recurring appointments in your calendar, whatever. It could literally be anything. For example, late last year, I noticed I spent half a day a week editing my podcast, uploading it to my media server, and creating the show notes. And each time I went through the exact same workflow. I mean, really nothing changed except the content. And I realized that I could save 2 full days a month if I could delegate this process. So I realized that there was a workflow there. I noticed a workflow, and that's the first step you have to take in transforming a workflow into a documented procedure. And here's an action point for you. Identify one workflow that you could delegate to someone else. And I'd start with something that's fairly simple. Now calculate, and this is the fun part, how much time you would save per month if you could successfully delegate this workflow. And for extra credit, calculate how much time your time is worth. In other words, how much money would you save if you could delegate this to someone else who you could pay a lot cheaper than it takes for you to do the same task? So number one, notice the workflow. Number two, optimize the workflow. You know, once you have the workflow identified It's time to fine tune it. You know, usually after we've done something several times, we improve it. And you can do this by eliminating any unnecessary steps, any unnecessary redundancy in the procedure. Simplifying the tools can also help. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you have to hire a genius like you to perform the procedure. Instead, use your genius to create a simple, reproducible procedure that almost anyone could execute. You know, this was the real genius behind the McDonald's franchise. Roy Kroc, when he franchised that model, what he did was he reduced everything to a repeatable, simple procedure so that no matter where you order French fries in the world at a McDonald's, they're going to taste pretty much the same because they boiled that down, no pun intended, to a procedure so that anyone, the ordinary people that you could hire off the street, could replicate and have beautiful French fries every time. Here's an action point for you. Observe yourself in action next time you run through the workflow and ask yourself the question, what steps could I eliminate or modify in this process or make it easier for someone else to execute? An extra credit here, explore whether or not there are better, easier to use tools to make the procedure easier for someone else to implement. So that's the second step, optimize the workflow. Third step, document the workflow. Now, this is the difference maker. Most people don't do this, and it's where 95% of leaders fail. They expect their staff to read their mind and then wonder why no one else can do the job as well as they can. So you've got to assume that you're training someone with limited experience. And so here's what I do. First of all, choose the appropriate documentation tool. Now, this could be a Google document, which is terrific because everybody has access to it online. It could be a note in Evernote that you share with your team. Could be an outline in Omni Outliner. And I've done all three, but I find my favorite new tool is a program called Suite Process, which is designed just for this purpose for online documentation that could be shared with the team. And it's got some really cool features so that, for example, you can embed not only screenshots, but screen flows or short videos that show how you do something. I find that that often is hugely helpful to people who are trying to learn a new task. Then write down the workflow as a series of sequential steps. This is where you kind of have to go in and deconstruct the work so that somebody else can replicate it. Imagine you were explaining to someone what to do and waiting for them to complete each step before moving on to the next one. Then I would suggest you start each step with an action verb. For example, open your email program or create a request form or upload the file to the Libsyn server. These steps should look very similar to items on a to-do list because, again, they start with an action verb. The person reading it should know when they have completed each step so they can check it off. Then I would suggest you use screenshots or screencasts to illustrate each step in the procedure. And you can make the process much easier to follow and less error prone if you do that. And I use Snagit for my screenshots and I use ScreenFlow for my screencasts. And I've got links in the show notes to both of those programs, but they both allow you to annotate the illustrations. And then I would suggest finally that you test your own procedure by going through each step in a live setting. This is really where the rubber meets the road. And you want to make sure that each step is clear and that nothing is missing before you ask someone else to implement it. So here's an action point for you. Select a documentation tool. Again, I recommend Suite Process, but you can use anything that you're comfortable with. Get a free trial of Suite Process if you want. You might quickly list each of the steps in the workflow you also want to document. Again, as an action point to this third step, which is to document the workflow. Fourth, share the workflow. Now, once you've tested the procedure and are reasonably confident that you've identified all the appropriate steps, it's time to share it with the person to whom you're delegating the workflow. And I think of this as a beta test. You know, you're not Moses. These aren't the Ten Commandments. Tell your delegate or the person you're delegating this to that they're likely going to find mistakes or steps that aren't clear. Ask them to help you make the procedure better. This should be a living document that gets better over time. Now, personally, I don't regard my workflows as sacred. They can always be improved. And if the person to whom I've delegated can get to the same destination via a different route, assuming it's cheaper and more efficient, I'm all for it. Now, I would share the workflow with your delegate via a cloud-based tool that you can both access. And again, this is why I like Google Docs, Evernote, and especially Suite Process. But here, for example, is a workflow I created called How to Prepare for a Skype Video Interview. And I've got a link in the show notes to that. But you can see the documentation, how I lay out each step, how I have screenshots, even product shots, links so that people can further research it or buy the equipment that I'm suggesting. But if you want to share it with a larger audience, you might even blog about it. I used to do this in my early days of blogging. In fact, it was one of the real reasons I started blogging, was to share my workflows and my productivity tips with a larger audience. And I've done it several times. My WordPress setup screencast is a good example of a step-by-step procedure that anyone can use to set up a self-hosted WordPress blog in 20 minutes or less. Action point here: share your workflow documentation with your delegate. Send them a link via email. Ask that person to work through it a couple of times and give you some feedback. And here's some extra credit. Share this post with him and encourage him or her to start documenting his own workflows. And this will enable him to get his successor up to speed quickly in the event that you want to promote him or her, or for some reason they have to leave their position. Don't think of your workflow documentation as a finished product. It's always a work in process. As you discover new tools, think of new insights, come up with different work, or expand, you'll want to update it. And yes, delegating something the first time does take more time and effort. You could do it faster and better yourself, but this is a false economy because it doesn't scale. If you want to take your organization and your life to the next level, you got to be willing to make the investment. So let me leave you with this question. What workflow could you delegate next? Leave your answer at michaelhyatt.com/92, as in episode 92. Now let's turn to our listener Q&A segment. I had a variety of questions on this topic. Jonathan asked, what if you don't have someone to delegate to? Well, first thing I would say is don't be so quick to assume that. I know that that's how I thought coming out of the corporate world. I thought I either had to hire somebody full-time or I couldn't delegate, and I didn't have anybody to delegate to, so I was kind of stuck. But what I didn't realize is the power and the availability of virtual assistants. This has become an entire industry now, and I use a company called EA Help. They make available tremendous, screened, qualified, trained virtual assistants that are excellent, and I have two virtual assistants currently with them. But that's where I would start, and I started with my first virtual assistant, Trisha, for 5 hours a week. And that's all I was paying for. That's all I wanted. That's the only way I could see starting. And I thought, wow, what would it make possible if I could delegate 5 hours worth of work to somebody else that was probably going to be more efficient and could do it better, and it would get it off my plate so I could focus on the high value things that only I could do. So if you don't have someone to delegate to, even if you're in a corporation, consider a virtual assistant. It's possible today, and it's easier than ever before. Barish asked, what are best practices in follow-up and accountability after a leader delegates the process or the responsibility? Barish, I want to recommend that you go back and listen to episode 42, which was also on delegation. In fact, it's called The Fine Art of Delegation. But there I discuss the five levels of delegation, and this is the place to start. Level one, do exactly what I've asked you to do. That's where it begins, and that's where I start with somebody that maybe I don't have the trust, or it's a new relationship, we're just starting out, but I'm going to ask you to do a task, and I want you to do exactly what I've asked you to do. That's a level one delegation. Level two, research the topic and then report back to me. So as trust begins to build, as you have confidence in that person, give them the opportunity to research the topic and then report back on what they found. Level three, research the topic, outline the options, and then make a recommendation. This is one of my favorite levels because it gives you an opportunity to see how they think, to see all the options, and then to see what they recommend. Then level four, make a decision, and then tell me what you did. In other words, you're really delegating the authority to go ahead and make the decision. And again, early on, it needs to be a task or an assignment that's not a high-risk thing, that doesn't have a lot of repercussions. It's not high impact if it comes off the rails. But have them make the decision, and then just tell me what you did. And then level five, and this is the ultimate level, make whatever decision you think is best. You don't even need to report back. And this is really where you want to get with the people in your inner circle. But again, it begins at the very first level. So you can see, make sure they're following through and make sure that they're doing the job to your satisfaction. Now, I will also note in the early stages, the task that I assign, you could either do this in a program like Basecamp. You could do it in Noseby where you actually make team assignments, or you could just do it like in an Evernote note where you have a note with their name and you're just simply listing the tasks that you've assigned to them and then crossing them off when they've completed it. That way you keep up with where people are so that things don't fall through the cracks. Misty asks, what software do you use to track delegation? Well, I use the tools that are inside of Noseby or inside of Basecamp. And with some team members, I use Basecamp, and with others, I use Noseby. But it's amazing what's available in the software today. You can track it that way. And as I said earlier, you could also use Evernote or just, you know, Google Docs or anything, even just a sheet of paper. In the old days, that's how I did it. I just wrote down on a sheet of paper in a notebook that I carried anything that I had assigned to my assistant so that I could keep up with it. And next time we were together, we would talk through it. Rob asks, I want to delegate, but I'm not sure I can trust my subordinates to do the job right. What can I do? Well, you can document the workflow and demonstrate to them what you consider to be, quote, doing the job right. This is really where it has to begin. You know, otherwise people are just, you know, shooting at a target in the dark and they don't really know what your expectations are. And the thing I love about a workflow is that it clarifies your expectations. But I would be very careful to say to the person, again, if you can get to the same destination using another procedure, great. But I want you to learn my procedure first. And then if you can improve on it, let's discuss that. But that's a way to build trust. That's another way to make sure that the job is done to your satisfaction and up to the quality that you expect. And then Rebecca asks, when do I know it's time to delegate a task? I like what Tim Ferriss says in his book, The 4-Hour Workweek. And he says, first eliminate. You know, as you look at all your tasks, as you're feeling perhaps overwhelmed, there's probably things on your task list that you really don't have any business doing. Maybe they don't serve your purpose any longer. Maybe they're just not as important as they once were. But they could be completely eliminated and it wouldn't have an impact on your business, or at least it would have a minimal impact. And sometimes you just need to do that because you don't want to delegate something that's not worth doing. And if it's not worth your time, it's probably not worth somebody else's time. After you've eliminated tasks that don't need to be done, then automate tasks. What on your task list could be automated so that nobody has to do it? You know, maybe it's a recurring appointment. You know, maybe it's a recurring phone call. Maybe it's something that you can automate with some kind of software system. But automate. You don't want to delegate what could be automated, what you could have a machine do. And then finally, delegate. And the time to delegate, once you've eliminated and automated, is when you realize that you're spending a lot of your time doing things that are reactive, things that are urgent, but not important. You want to increasingly focus your time on the things that only you can do, the things where you distinctly add value, the things that are important, not merely urgent. Well, that's all the time we have for questions this week. If you'd like to ask me a question, go to michaelhyatt.com/question. You can either leave me a voicemail message or email me with your question. Again, go to michaelhyatt.com/question to leave a message. I'll be back after the break with an announcement and my tip of the week.
Thinking of starting your own blog but worried that your technical know-how is not up to scratch?
The good news is that starting blogging has never been easier.
Michael shares his knowledge with you for free and will show you that 20 minutes is all it takes to have your own blog up and running.
This is John D. Harrison from johndharrison.com. I started out with a free WordPress site, and if I would have applied your advice, started out with a self-hosted site, I really could have saved myself a lot of headaches. Self-hosted definitely is the way to go, and your screencast is the easiest way I know to make that happen.
Join Michael and follow his quick and easy step-by-step video tutorial at michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup.
Take action now and start blogging today.
michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup.
My business partner and good friend Ken Davis and I will be hosting the SCORE Conference May 5th through 8th at the beautiful Rosenhunt Plaza Hotel in Orlando, Florida. And we've only got a handful of tickets left, but whether you're a professional speaker or you just want to be a better communicator, this conference will teach you how to prepare with focus, deliver with confidence, and speak with power. And honestly, this conference has had a bigger impact on my career than any conference I've ever attended. I use it every single day of my life, both in blogging, speaking, writing, every kind of communication, whether written or spoken, I use it. It revolutionized all of that. But if you're serious about becoming a better speaker, you simply must attend. However, we've got just a handful of tickets left. This is going to sell out. It always does. So if you're interested in attending, this is like the last chance to get a ticket. You can find out more at scoreconference.tv. Now, let me leave you with one final tip. If you're struggling to get your work done, schedule appointments with yourself. Even after you've delegated, you're still struggling, schedule appointments with yourself. Literally, put an appointment on your calendar. In their book, Rework, Jason Fried and David Heinemeier Hansen call this time in the alone zone. I love that. And I literally put that on my calendar. The great thing about this is when someone asks you to do something else during this time, you can legitimately say, gosh, I'm sorry, but I've already got a commitment then. What about? And then you can offer an alternative date. Now, I don't go into a lot of detail other than that when I'm telling somebody I've got a commitment because it's not necessary. And if you add more, it only sounds like you're making an excuse. But I honor these commitments to myself, these appointments with myself, just as I would to someone else. These appointments are critical in order for me to get my work done and make consistent, meaningful progress on my most important projects. If you haven't tried this before, I want to suggest you give it a try and literally put on your calendar time in the alone zone. Well, that's it for this episode of This Is Your Life. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please show the love by going to michaelhyatt.com/love and tweeting a link to the show. I'd be so grateful if you do that because it helps us keep our visibility up on iTunes so that people who have never heard of me or heard of this show can discover it for the first time. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? This is your life.